Rob Parr.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Homemade Broadcast episode, I know it says 482 up there, it's 483 and it's not 6-7, it's 6-14. My name's Will Koontz. I'm joined again by my friend Anna Hummel. Hi, Anna.
Oh, hey, ew. How's it going?
What the heck is that?
Nail polish. On my fingernails.
I don't think I've ever seen you with your nails painted. Either.
Yeah, and the saddest part, how short and gross they are.
Yeah.
These are fake. Part of these are fake.
It looks odd.
It does look odd. It's because I don't have normal nails. B, I have ugly hands because they're dried out. And C, I have to keep them short for jujitsu.
Right. So that was going to be my question. Usually when you see a painted nail, they're a little bit longer, and I know that the gals will sometimes put, fake ones over their real ones to make them appear to be human nails. But those,
right.
You opted. Who did those? Did you do them?
An Asian woman. I am there, and sadly enough, I know they look really short. These are actually partially fake.
Yeah,
which is even, because my real nail is like that.
Right.
I have little baby nail beds. I have ugly hands and I do jujitsu and bite my nails. Disgusting habit, by the way. Absolutely filthy. One that no one would expect because of how germophobic I am. But,
So what made you do that?
Oh, I'm going to a bachelorette party this weekend in Boise, Idaho. And I haven't seen, it's really strange. I haven't seen some of these girls in about 15 years since I graduated college. And I realized, like, I'm trying to impress women more than I try to impress men.
Yeah.
Which is weird. We want other people to think that we got it together, especially when it's been a decade and a half. So I just kind of thought maybe it would, sometimes when women do things, and I'm sure guys too, where you do something, self-care or whatever, and you feel good from the outside, it helps you just feel good on the inside. This makes me feel worse. And as the woman was doing it, and she was finishing up, and I sat there because I got my toes done too, which was much more enjoyable and quicker. As soon as I got out of that chair after 2.5 hours, I go, I am never doing this again. This is horrific. They don't look that good. Maybe if I'm just talking, it's like, oh, she's got it together. They don't look that good, and it takes forever. And I have a feeling that when they start looking bad or falling apart, it's going to get messy. Like parts of nails are going to start coming off, and then to fix it, it gets you in this loop where I kept seeing women come in where it's like, this nail's broken, this nail's broken. It's like, there's $50 right there, there's $20 right there, trying to keep it looking good. So I'm just done.
I think you could have, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I feel like you wasted your money. You could have just put some, white out or something on your nails and still got that illusion of when you're moving around that nobody would have, suspected anything.
Here's the thing, Will, and much like body image where you go, look at, like, for example, I'm not going to name any names here, but someone I know is getting married next year. And they were showing me some of the dresses that they're interested in. They wanted a sweetheart neckline. Keep this very vague. So when I asked them to, and they just recently got engaged, like within the last 2 weeks. So I maybe saw this person about a week and a half ago, like days after they got engaged. And I said, I know, because you're a girl, I know you got pictures of the dress that you want. Show me what you're looking for. So she's showing me these beautiful gowns on these beautiful bodies. And I'm like, right? It looks great. on her, you have a different body type. You maybe are 5'5", 210. That girl is 5'6", 115 pounds. She looks a little different. So she was like, I want to let, I'm like, you're not even showing me a plus size model. You're showing me a skinny bitch. Like, yeah, but don't you
know
see
what? That? You know what? And this is probably rude, but it's true. No clothes look good if you're fat. I'm a husky boy, and I've gotten my weight has fluctuated by 20 pounds given a few weeks, and some of the clothes that you just got to wear a garbage bag and you look terrible. So it doesn't really matter if it's a skinny model or not. If it's a plus size dress, I think that's a myth where it's like, oh, it's cut to your curves or something. Unless it's tailor made, where somebody literally but I don't know.
I agree with you to an extent, but even if you're like, if you're just even a little bit thicker, I mean, there are dresses that are more forgiving, let's say that, than others. When you're like 150 over what you should be, you're right. Just wear linens, go to bed, bath, and beyond.
Trash bag. Yeah, white trash bag.
But like, if you're even 50 or 60 pounds overweight, there are things that are more or less forgiving. There are things that look worse. So
like what?
I'm drawing this conclusion to myself. I go online and I go, you know, I want something like this. Wait, make sure there's nothing. Okay. You know, something maybe like that.
That's nice.
Yeah, or something like this. Like that,
oh,
I
beautiful.
Said.
Yeah.
Now, this person is obviously a hand model. She's got beautiful hands, nice skin, good nail bed. So when I think, oh, that's what mine will look like. Wrong. Didn't look like that at all. I got baby chiclets. Dry hands because I overwash them and I bite my nails. So I have to now accept a new reality that I will just never have nice hands. And I can put as much paint as I want on them. They're still 250 bills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's putting a pretty dress on a fat chick. That's the same analogy as it's never going to look like the hand model because I'm not a hand model. So it was a tough pill to swallow. Not really, but you know, for entertainment's sake, it was a tough pill to swallow. So, but it just looks kind of more put together. I feel like at least my digits are matching.
Yeah. They look worse the more you hold them there. If you're just going like this and don't get a good look at them, they look good.
Right. Exactly.
But just keep talking with your hands a lot. That would be my advice. Talk with your hands a lot. Keep them moving. Don't stop at any point. Right. Otherwise people are going to go, oh, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. By the way, but I'm really excited to see these people. You know, when I last saw them, I was helping some of them, you know, get, like out of their hair. And now they're like married with kids and you're like, wow. You've changed, but like good because you needed a change because you were bad. You were a mess and now you're not a mess. And does your husband know what you were up to in 2007? Because guess who does? Me. I know I was there.
Yeah. Hopefully nobody. By the way, I would suggest, I know we're live streaming right now and people that are watching the live stream are watching it live. But sometimes people, you know, go back and listen later on a podcast or something. And still, even if you're watching live now, go ahead and follow the podcast feed because, you know, sometimes I drop something extra or, you know, whatever. Just subscribe everywhere. It helps me. So do that. HMBRadio.com, HMB Radio on your favorite podcast app. Radio St. Pete, if you're listening over there, come join us on a live stream live one day, Wednesdays around 4 and 5, somewhere in between there. WillsYouTube.com. Hit the bell. Get notified when we're live. You can participate in the show, and it's a good time. And you can see Anna's nails. If you're audio only, no nails. Look at those freakish nubs of terror. Sorry. Those are really something to behold there.
I know. It's bad. But I've embraced and accepted it, so it's all right.
That's all right. Socials, Anna's completely offline. Home_made_man for me. You can email the show at thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. Text and voicemail 813-693-2124. Not to change the subject on you, but I did get a voicemail over this past week. And it was for a person that I have no affiliation with, but was a guest of the program years ago. It was a man named Shelby Suggs. He was very prominent, I guess, in the Tampa Bay music scene. I remember he came over and he had something going on with him. He was handicapped. He could barely walk. He had crutches, the whole deal. And I remember he parked in the in my little parking lot there, and you couldn't park there. Like, they said they'll tow you, and I let him know they're going to tow you. And he said, oh, that's okay. I got a handicap placard. They can't tell me it's against the law. I went, all right, well, you know, I guess we'll see what happens. He got towed. And I had to, you know, rush to work that night. And I had to take him. I couldn't just leave him on his own. He's a handicapped man. And I took him to the tow truck place, and the tow truck drivers were not there, so he had to wait. And I just had I had to be like, dude, I gotta go. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I have to leave. He goes, don't worry about it. I'll be fine. That was the last time I ever saw Shelby Suggs. And somebody called looking for him, wanting to stay at his house or something. So I looked him up and learned that he had passed away, I guess, semi recently. So rest in peace to Shelby Suggs. I had to tell the guy that this is not affiliated with Shelby Suggs, this program. I don't know how he got the two together other than the person being a guest on my show. Yeah, that was weird. So if you want to leave a voicemail, 813-693-2124. Hopefully not about anyone who's passed away recently. But, you know, I'm kind of open to anything at this point. Anna's doing her nails. She's trying to look better. I'm doing the same thing. I'm not doing my nails, but I'm not eating anymore, Anna. I've given up food entirely during the week. It really is. I don't know what else to do. None of my shirts fit anymore.
You're getting fatter?
I'm getting fatter. Yeah. I don't know how. It's just,
you're not even maintaining your fatness. You're actually growing in size.
It must be, because none of my shirts fit. So
have you weighed yourself?
I haven't. I'm just going to not eat anymore.
When was the last time you weighed yourself, and how much did you weigh?
Oh, gosh. I don't even. Probably last time I was at the doctor's, and I think it was like 243.
And when was that?
That was October.
Okay.
I think.
And you think you're heavier now? You're sure? You said your shirts don't fit.
Shirts don't fit. I mean, that's really the gauge. The weight really isn't even the gauge. It's the clothing fitting.
And it's not like you've really, grown your pectoral muscles, your traps or your lats where it wouldn't fit because, right, you have too many muscles.
I mean, I am fat ripped right now, kind of. Yeah. Not okay. Really, but that's what I like to say that I am.
Sometimes the body can grow bigger, but the body composition changes. But you're saying that that's not what happened.
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm just
there's no FenFen. Going back on FenFen.
Yeah, I tried that too. That did work. I lost like 15 pounds on that. But I don't know. I think I just need to not eat food. And my body can't process food. It doesn't do a good job at it. So I'm just giving it up.
Okay.
I'm doing like a protein shake for lunch and then some eggs for dinner. And that's what I'm eating from here on.
And you started this like an hour ago?
I started this on Monday.
Okay.
So I'm a few days.
You haven't had any food other than protein shakes and eggs.
Egg, avocado, vegetables.
And are you miserable? 2 days in?
I don't feel very good, but I'm okay. I'm hanging in. Not super hungry or anything, so that's good.
Okay. I don't know if you're looking for advice.
Sure, I'll take advice.
Just a listening ear.
Yeah, I'll take advice. Well, you're the you know, you stay in good shape.
Oh, I'm sorry. The lighting's not great in here, but okay.
No body fat at all on there.
There's some body fat, but you know, it's a respectable amount. How about, you know what I'm going to say, Will? How about a little bit of intermittent fasting?
I do
a little
that.
Bit of moving the body.
I did that.
Okay. You do, what are you doing, like 18-6?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're still getting, and you're getting fatter.
Yeah.
Now, could it be the contents of the food that you're eating or the fact that you relax such restrictions on the weekends?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. My plan is to still be lax on the weekends, but be super strict during the weekdays.
That should serve you well. But
we'll see.
Are you still running and stuff?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing is I feel like people don't believe me when I show, like I was talking to my dad the other day and I was like, you know, basically told him the same thing that I'm just getting super fat. None of my shirts fit. And then I was telling him what I was doing. And I think that he believed me, but there was also kind of like, well, how? How was that possible?
How are you defying the laws of physics?
And I showed him and you have proof now because I have in the phone, whether you want to or not, it keeps track of all your, you know, what you do. So I have all my, look, 4 miles, 5 days a week running, and can't keep track of all the other stuff, the push-ups and all that. But
you have like the... Fitness pal. What's the running one? Do you do that too or no?
No, I don't do that. The Strava. Strava, okay. Yeah.
Strava, yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't do that, but okay. It measures it and I would imagine it's pretty accurate. They got that thing pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within
so
a
you're
tenth
moving
of a mile.
And you're getting fatter and you're intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm. Tried low carb.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not one to jump to, you know, you got a hormone imbalance because I think most people just eat like crap.
Yeah.
And it seems like, I mean, every time I've seen you eat, it seems like you eat pretty sensibly, you know, unless there's a pool party or something, which fair enough, whatever. But if you're eating mostly whole foods and you're intermittent fasting and you're moving and you're getting enough sleep, and suddenly now you're gaining weight and you're doing everything the same and nothing's really changed, then maybe it's a hormonal willy, perhaps.
Meaning low testosterone?
You have to say it like Mo.
I know. Every time I say that.
Well,
testosterone. I can't do a good Mo, but yeah.
Testosterone.
It's so funny whenever that commercial comes on, because Mo still has... Mo, we're talking about a cat named Mo show on the bone. He still has the testosterone place as an endorsement. And every time it comes on, Johnny goes, testosterone in the studio every time. It's still funny after years and years.
Doesn't he say like in the ad that he doesn't need it? Like,
yeah.
Doesn't he say something like, I don't need it, but you probably do.
Yeah. I think they made him recut it after that. But
taking the thing he's hawking.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that and I was getting ads on Instagram about testosterone replacement and the algorithms tend to know you better than you know you. So I was like, maybe Instagram's telling me I got low testosterone. Maybe I do. But yeah. I got it tested a couple months ago. Last October, last time I was in the doctor's office. Maybe it was December and it was fine. So I thought about that. I was thinking about like what kind of illegal drugs can I get to help with this? I already got the fen stuff. I already, you know, what else could I do? Steroids? Will that help you lose weight?
I wasn't thinking that it was necessarily like lower T. I was thinking more so like a thyroid thing.
Yeah, it's not that either. I got that tested too.
You got that tested recently? I mean, if it's changing within the last couple months and you're noticing a difference, I really think you need more metrics. Like you need to weigh yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You have a scale?
It's going to hurt my feelings every day. No,
well,
I don't.
Oh, sorry. Time to go to Publix.
Dude, they had this thing I saw on Instagram. It was a suit that you can wear. And then an app that you download, and then you scan your body, and it tells you how much you weigh, what your dimensions are, all of that stuff.
I mean, you could also just go to Publix and kind of get a ballpark.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go to Publix later, so I'll step on the scale and let you know what it came back. Okay. It's 243, yeah. I think it was. I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. I'm really nervous.
Is it just the shirts? Is anything else feel different? Do you have like different energy levels? Are you balding more than you should? Like, I'm trying to get, is there anything else?
No. I think it's, you know, everything else is okay. I think.
Is it just that you're having a bad like body image day? Maybe you wash your shirts and dried them too long and they're just, maybe the shirts are smaller and it's not you?
Because it was multiple. This happened a few months ago and I got rid of all those shirts. And then I was like, well, thank God I still have these shirts. And then now they don't fit. So, and that was the step up. So I know something's going on.
Okay.
But
yeah, I think step one is definitely weighing yourself.
It might be booze. I mean, it could be booze. I don't know. I don't really drink like beer. I only really drink whiskey. That's the only thing I drink now. And I don't think whiskey's that bad for you. In fact, I looked it up. I think it could. I could think it could make you gain weight if you eat. You know, if
that's
you're drunk
saying,
and
like
you eat.
Drunk
but,
eating.
But I don't really. I'm so used, which is bad. I'm pretty like I'm a good drinker. I have a few drinks and I don't necessarily eat anything. I would say, in fact, most of the time I don't. And I heard that it can actually help you lose weight. I looked it up. I Googled it. Some sites say it helps you. It can make you gain weight. And some say it can help you lose weight. Because there's not that many calories in it. I don't think there's any carbs in it. I think it's like 60 calories for an ounce or something.
I would suggest that there's probably carbs.
I don't think so.
Most liquor.
Let's look it up. It is National Bourbon Day today, too. Like, let's see.
Fermented wheat or rye or potatoes.
Nutritional facts.
I mean, a lot of them are empty calories. Like, you're not going to get you're not going to get any micronutrients. I shouldn't say any. I don't know. But you're probably not going to get a lot of, like, vitamin A and stuff like that. But it's calories, and calories they've got to be either one of three macronutrients here. So
there it is. Can you read that?
I can.
1.5 ounce of 80 proof, 97 calories. Okay, so maybe the calories are catching up. And I can put a few away. No protein, no fat, no carbs.
Well, then where is the energy coming from?
Alcohol.
Well, what's alcohol? Alcohol is a carbohydrate, isn't it? Is it not?
I think it's its own thing.
No, it's not.
Why wouldn't it be in these categories here?
I don't know. I'm looking it up now. Is alcohol a... No, not is alcohol a major sin in Islam. God. It just auto filled and then went there.
The answer is yes.
Let's see. Oh.
What's the answer?
Okay, I think I may have been wrong. As mentioned before, alcohol is technically, I want to know what it means by that, the fourth macronutrient. It contains calories, but because alcohol does not provide essential macronutrients in the form of carbs, protein, and fats, companies can legally claim that their drink to have zero carbs, fats, and proteins put on that label. And contains 7 calories per gram, but because it isn't essential for survival, it's not typically mentioned with other macronutrients. Okay. Perhaps. I want to know what it means by technically. But All right. Well, we'll give it to you. It's still energy that's going to get it. I feel like the body's going to recognize it like glucose, which is carbohydrates, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because in my mind, like I think
your
body only recognizes like glucose and ketones as energy, which is essentially stored fat.
Yeah, I think alcohol is made because doesn't yeast or something. I don't know if that works with whiskey or not, but like beer, for example, the yeast will eat the grain and then it expels alcohol.
Right.
I don't know if it's the same thing with booze or not, but bourbon's just like pretty much the same stuff.
It's
corn,
like fermented,
corn, rye, malt, is in there? Wheat.
And then if you let alcohol ferment further, it turns into vinegar.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I got into a vinegar caper a few weeks ago. So I'm like, what is it?
Just wanted to know what it was?
Well, you know, it was one of those things that like popped up on YouTube and it's like, what is vinegar? And I'm like, dude, what is vinegar? Like, do you get it from the ocean? Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know. So I'm like, I'm dumb. So I, like, you know, you start looked investigating and then you go down the vinegar hole and you're like, oh, it's because it, essentially it's, it's like grains and sugars get fermented into alcohol and then alcohol gets fermented into vinegar.
Interesting. I guess that makes sense. Like apple cider vinegar. I guess it's apple cider that, okay. I never really thought about that. I kind of thought much like alcohol that it was its own thing.
Yeah. So if you let, like, for example, like you had a glass of wine and you just left it on your table for like a week and then whatever, you go on vacation, come back, there'll be like a film on it. And it's called a, I think it's called a SCOBY. Mm-hmm. It's a, it's an acronym for something.
It's a bacteria, right?
Yeast bacteria, bacterial yeast, whatever.
Yeah.
And you can like pick it up. It's like a film and then you can put it in like another thing of alcohol and then that will help ferment it into vinegar. So it's just this, like, it's just a bunch of like bacteria, like a bunch of yeast.
That's
yeast bacteria, right? That's like,
yeah, I think so. Bacteria. Well, yeah. Back yeast. Yeah, I guess so. There was my old roommate who slept in a hammock used to have one of those in a jar.
Yeah.
And he used to drink directly out of it and it would make me gag every time he did that.
Oh, the apple cider vinegar?
No, it was, it was kombucha. Whatever.
Kombucha is actually fermented like tea.
Yeah.
I looked that up because then you start to get into fermentating everything, right? And I always thought kombucha, and I've literally been saying this on the air like a jerk off, and it turns out I was wrong, but obviously I'm not going to self correct. I thought we saw kombucha was a fermented mushroom, but they call it the mushroom thing because the thing that's at the top, the SCOBY, looks like a mushroom.
Oh, I thought it was.
Right. I thought it was too. It's just the SCOBY. It's just the, when you pull it out, it's like this film and it looks like the head of a, you know, deflated and watered down mushroom, but it's not mushroom. It's yeast. So I'm dumb.
I'm learning a lot.
It's literally tea.
Learning a lot today.
Yeah. Vinegar, kombucha. I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 813-693-2124, the homemade broadcast at gmail.com, hmbradio.com. You know, I did have some stuff. First of all, rest in peace to the man. I don't know if I can even
say Uncle Ted.
Yeah. Let's get to that. The Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, he is dead now. And he died of suicide, went out on his own accord there. I guess he had terminal cancer. And
he
wasn't doing well. Yeah. And they found him unresponsive, tried to hang himself, I guess, or accomplish that feat.
It's weird. Really, turned in by his own brother, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was hurting people.
Stop.
Yeah.
He's a rat. Rat.
Well, it's weird how it's kind of, you know, his story has been kind of romanticized and a lot of people are like, yeah, that guy was right now, including me. I don't agree with the bombings part necessarily, but at all, I should say. But he wrote, you know, his manifesto was written about in they printed it in the Washington Post, I think. And I actually bought it many years ago. I think I gave it to you. Did you ever get around to reading that thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a while, but you definitely let me borrow it to read.
I gotta say, I'm probably on a watch list now that I bought that on Amazon.com, which is ironic. But had a lot of good points, I will say. And if you look into the future from where he's at now to where we are, you can kind of see like, oh man, this guy might have been right about some stuff anyways.
Yeah.
So rest in peace.
What was I going to say about the Unabomber? Oh, this is what I was going to say. It's because you are able to separate the music from the artist.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
You like the manifesto. Doesn't mean you thought the guy was great, but he made some good albums. Mm-hmm. You know, Thriller was a phenomenal album.
Yeah.
Was he having sex with young boys? Sure.
Allegedly.
Did that take
Never
away
convicted.
From the fact that Thriller was a bomb ass album? I don't think so.
That's a fact. You're right. Yeah. And same thing with Uncle Ted there. So I don't know if you want to go online. I would suggest checking it out. You know, The Art of War, Know Your Enemy. Even if you think he was a total creep, weirdo, psycho, you should still know your enemies because he's inspiring people even now. I mean, if you look on Twitter and some of the dissident corners of Twitter, people are, you know, retweeting stuff about him, talking about him. So even if you're like, this guy is not good, I don't like him, you should still know. You should still know and, you know, check it out. It's you know, it'll take you a few hours to get through it. And I think there's probably audiobooks of it now, too. It's worth checking out. Anna, we're still in Pride Month. Oh, did you got anything? Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, it's about Uncle Ted. Now, before we segue into Pride, which is very important, mm-hmm. and I am a big fan and ally.
Yes.
Wasn't it postulated that he was a product of MKUltra?
That's allegedly he was at Stanford and supposedly
was it Stanford or was it Harvard?
Maybe it was Harvard. I can't. Okay. Yeah. I'm one of those.
I think it was East Coast. That's why I'm like.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was Harvard. He was a student and was allegedly part of these programs with maybe some acid.
I thought he was a professor.
Yeah, I think he was. Well, he was a student and I think he was also like an associate professor or something. Yeah. And then to make money, he did these, you know, psychological research studies.
Right. He wasn't a dum-dum. No, what we're saying.
No, he was
the contrary.
He's a PhD in math, which is like, you know, just basically you have to
red flag. That is a red flag as it is, as it stands alone.
Yeah, you have to have autism in order to get that.
What are you a doctor in? Math.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Psycho. Yeah, yeah. So, so there's, you know, there was some speculation that maybe his brain was burnt out from MKUltra and sent him down this path. I don't know. You know, I don't want to go back to growing my own food. Well, actually, I kind of do, but not on a large scale. I don't want to go back to farming, everybody farming and
hard to grow pizza. You know, yeah. I get it every once in a while. Like, we got a compost deal out here and we're going to hopefully, when the time is right, I don't know much about gardening, but the boyfriend does. You know, we want some tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, like things like that. But again, like, right, I can't grow Greek yogurt. Like, what am I supposed to do? So
you have to make it yourself. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think you can go back. I feel like the only way to kind of mitigate the threat that technology, you know, gives us is using technology to stop the technology. Like, I don't think you can go back now. I think we're way too far ahead, and the only way is to develop some sort of technology to put a check on technology, if that makes sense. And that might be impossible. I think that's what his point was, is that there's no going back and we got to destroy this stuff.
You know what's an interesting trend? And I was listening to a podcast recently and they kind of brought.
Uh-oh, she froze. Or I froze.
Did you say something? Oh, it froze.
Froze. I don't know if I did or you did.
Yeah, so it's interesting that all of these like tech bros out in Silicon Valley, like they're trying to develop all this new technology to just go back to basics. It's like how to get the right amount of like whatever, not red light, whatever, blue light, you know, all these sorts of things. It's like, go outside, go get some sun. And then it's like how to get the right amount of calories. Da-da-da-da. It's like, just eat intuitively and stop when you're full. Okay. And then it's like, and then you can track your fasting. It's like, just fast for X amount of hours, you know? So you're doing all these things and they're trying to develop all this technology to just get back to basics, which is, and I've said this 1,000 times before, which is, just eat whole foods, don't eat the processed stuff or eat less of it, you know, sleep well, move your body and get sun. And you do those things, you're going to be pretty good to go. That's like 80% of it. But all these, like, all this technology is trying to get us back to things that like kind of we already knew. Yeah. Don't eat processed crap. You know, we don't need to grow meat in a lab. Maybe just go have a vegetable. Or, you know, go hunt a cat. I don't know. Hunt a cow, hunt an elk or something. I don't know.
Hunt a cow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for that. It's really tough though, when the food that's in the grocery store is, you know, processed the way it is, it's hard to eat. good. I guess the key is, I think the rule of thumb is just shop on the outside of the stores, right? On the perimeter. Yeah. And then you're good to go.
That's your best bet to health and longevity. So.
Well, you're right, though. Do you think there's any going back? You think we can defeat the techno empire?
This is what I'll say. As a society, no. It's going in one direction. It's not even linear. It's like exponential growth. It's like going faster and getting more advanced each year. It's going to take a lot of self-discipline, and most people will fail. It's going to have to take a lot of people who are curious, who are either feeling depressed or the fat or a combination of everything. I've been listening to some people who are like, this is a crisis. Like, we thought COVID was bad. And partially the reason why COVID was bad was because, 93% of Americans are suffering from metabolic dysfunction. Like, they're not burning fat. They're just burning glucose all the time. They're never getting into the fat storages because they just are constantly in a fed state. And that's leading to things like diabetes, like PCOS. It's like, you know, you look at fertility rates in America, right? Like, a third of females are having trouble because they have PCOS, which is essentially, like, I don't want to say a form of diabetes, but like, there's a high correlation when insulin starts getting effed up, because insulin is a growth, sorry, not to get in the weeds, but just quickly, insulin is a growth hormone, right? The more you eat, especially carbs and proteins, the more insulin you're going to have in your body. It causes things to grow, like fat, like muscle. It's necessary for muscle growth. But guess what else it causes to grow? Tumors! Everyone's getting cancer. Everyone's getting diabetes. Everyone's getting PCOS. Guys have low sperm count. Like, this isn't by accident. So I feel like we're going to hit a crisis point that, you know, the next, and especially with the demographics, you know, I'm sure you've been listening to a lot of that where, you know, you kind of want to have a generation that replaces the current one. Well, that's not happening because a lot of people our age and younger and older didn't or aren't having kids. So now we have less people to take care of this aging population, and the people that are part of the workforce are unhealthy, disabled, you know, they can't function properly. This is going to cause, like, the demise of our society. So I feel like at some point there's going to be like a huge overhaul of, like, well, we have to change. Otherwise we will cease to exist. You know, not to be an alarmist or anything like that, but I think as an individual, you can fight technology in some ways by making it, you know, for example, if I go on a walk, I purposely leave my phone at home. I'm like, there's no need that I don't need this phone for the next 30 minutes. Making a point to try to remove it from your routine. But as far as most of society goes, they're lost causes. We're all addicted. So.
And, you know, you wonder if technology kind of caused some of these problems. Maybe not caused, but it was a byproduct of, like, will we be able to support the world population now if we all ate, you know, vegetables and meat and, like, how we were supposed to, and nuts? And would the population be 7+ billion or whatever it is now on the planet without that stuff? And now we're running into problems where our lifestyle is killing us, you know, literally. And now it seems like the people who are kind of in control of these decisions are going, uh-oh, I don't know if we can support the world population here and making decisions about that.
And they know that. And the reason why these problems persist and are getting worse, and the fact that people are getting fatter and more unhealthy with more knowledge. Like, clearly we know more now than we did 50, 60 years ago, but the problem is way worse now. Why is it that the more money we throw at this thing, the worse the problem gets? It's because they're purposely not trying to solve it. You know, when you have, like, the Diabetes Association of America, they're bought and paid for by Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola tells them, hey, can you say that, like, you can incorporate soda as part of a healthy, balanced lifestyle? Yeah, sure, no problem. That sort of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah. So, Matthew says, have you seen WALL-E or Future Is That? I've not seen it, but I know that everybody kind of
referenced.
They kind of live in a pod, I think, and just kind of eat food. And, you know, Apple just came out with their new device, glasses that you kind of put on and you can watch TV that way and just sit and, you know, have everything right at your fingertips. So maybe he's right. Some variation of that. Yeah, it's I don't know. I feel like the only, if you don't want to be totally bummed out, then you got to think that the maybe technology can help solve these problems that technology has kind of created. But I don't know. It's
you think that there was a sweet spot? Like, do you think, because I know that I feel like it's part of the meme culture where it's like, remember the 90s when like people used to actually talk? And this comes from every generation, from like boomers to Xers to millennials. It's like, dude, we're all addicted to the phone. Like, have you ever seen an old person like on their computer with Facebook? They're just like a teenager. It's not a generational thing. It's a human problem. Like, they've tapped into something up here that makes us want more, 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 more. Yeah. So whether it's Snapchat for the Zoomers or Facebook for the boomers, it doesn't really matter. They're manipulating the same psychological mechanisms in our brain. Dang, I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, yeah, I want to talk about this. I know you got to go soon. And
I have a little bit more time today. I went to jiu-jitsu in the morning.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I want to talk about this. It is Pride Month, and we know that we're all big supporters of that. However, I feel like when it's so pronounced and forced everywhere, I know people, you know, it's forcing it down your throats. I think that when it's mandated like this, people start to become rebel a little bit because it's so mainstream that there needs to be some kind of counterculture around that. Being in school so much, kids are starting to go, I guess this is gay, literally. And they're starting to kind of rebel against this stuff because school is lame. Whatever they tell you, your teachers are lame. You know, it's boring. School's boring. It sucks. And now they're getting this stuff just thrown, you know, just constantly all month long and beyond that, but especially this month. And that some of them are starting to rebel. So I want to, hopefully this, will play this time and not mess me up. Let's see, share this tab instead. Let me know if you can hear this, Anna.
These displays of intolerance and homophobia are unacceptable.
This type of intolerant rhetoric starts in the home.
Parents angry at town hall over intolerance at Marshall Simons Middle School. Kids were asked to wear rainbow clothes in honor of Pride Spirit Day, but some organized a counter-protest wearing red, white, and blue or black. The principal sharing a statement to families that Pride posters were ripped down, stickers ripped up. Some students chanted, USA are my pronouns, and students showing Pride were intimidated.
It was an unruly disruption, in fact, that was organized ahead of time.
While some parents were upset, others say it was overblown.
What's that?
He said, shut up, Joanne.
Some of the kids threw the stickers on the ground. But, you know, I can only speak for my daughter. She didn't want to wear that to school. It's not that she wanted to hurt anybody's feelings.
She says her daughter felt coerced to participate in the Pride event and was offended by some of the messages, like this quote from Tennessee Williams.
Human heart cannot be straight. It is curves and winds. And my daughter just kind of said, you know, Mom, that's offensive to me, who I am straight.
But even parents...
I wonder if what that quote means, too. I wonder if it, you know, Tennessee Williams, he was probably gay if he was a writer.
It's like, it's a fluff piece. It's a puff. It doesn't mean anything. It's like, oh, you're curved like a heart and straight isn't the best because our hearts are curved. You know, it's like one of those. Yeah. It's meaningless is what it is.
Yeah, right. I guess you could interpret
poetry,
it that way.
It's poetry.
Yeah, if you wanted to. All right, let's just finish this up.
It's like her, opposed to the Pride Month celebration, say the ripping of posters was wrong.
I think destructing any property is wrong. I think, you know, that I just think that was wrong.
Parents and community groups now calling for the town and school board to act and support diversity, equity, and inclusion. The incident sparking discussion at home on both sides.
My thing that I teach my kids is just be kind. And I wish the schools would just kind of pump the brakes on what they're shoving down these kids' throats.
The issue of pride in schools is very controversial. I understand that. I think we need to start at a place of commonality.
I'm sure that's enough. So I think,
so
like
glad I don't have kids. So glad I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. I think, like I said, it's like, it's lame when all these, when your teachers are just nonstop, your teachers are lame. So the kids are starting to rebel. There was a local business, down here that posted a video of, so they put up a pride flag at their business and, they wanted help. They posted the video. Somebody had, destroyed their property and they tore down the flag and ran away. And in the video, it was a little kid. I would say 11, 12 years old, to be quite honest. Not even a teenager, an unruly teenager. And the business wanted help tracking down this person, but it was quite obviously a kid. And like, I was just like, what? I felt like, number one, that it was mostly for free advertising. Like, they were hoping like a Bay News 9 or Fox would kind of pick it up and go out there and do a story on it. And then they get free, you know,
promo
for this act. But number two, like, what do you want to happen to the kid? When you track them down, what are you going to do to the kid? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want them? You're going to press charges? Are you going to publicly shame? What's your angle here? What's your goal? And I tried to find the video. They did. I went to the Facebook page and they found the kid. So they took down the video and they had a conversation with his mother and the kid helped them put it back up. So he had to do a humiliation ritual to put the flag back up that he tore down. And probably got a good scolding. I don't know, but they left it at that. So it's like, okay. And they didn't like show his face or anything like that. So that's good. I'm glad that was, you know, at least the kid wasn't, you know, shamed, this young person who doesn't have the right, doesn't even know. It's just, I think it's just, like I said, enough. I'm tired of this. This is lame. Stop. So they're doing what kids do and rebel.
Yeah, just really glad I don't have kids. Because with me, I can deflect, I can ignore, I can whatever. But like, you think about how confused you were as a kid with just how things worked, who you were, you know. And I've told the story before, but you know, I thought I was gay because I remember being in sixth grade and seeing a girl at school, and I recognized she was attractive. Like I saw she was pretty. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm able to see her attractiveness. Like it's not a blindness. Like I just thought if you were straight, you're like blind because you're a kid, you don't know.
You're right.
So I acknowledge that she's pretty, she's attractive. Like I wanted to not like be with her, but I was like, man, I wish I could look like her or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And immediately I was like, oh, I'm gay. Like that's how my 11-year-old brain processed it. So I asked my dad, I was like, hey, I saw a girl at school and I thought she was pretty. Does that mean I'm gay? And my dad said, you know, the best thing that he could have. He goes,
yeah.
Yeah, you're not gay. Come on. You're just, she's pretty. Like, why are we not gay? Meanwhile, he's like, tells my mom, he's like, I think she's gay. And my mom was like, we're going to love her no matter what.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. That's nice. And that's.
You don't know. You're like. Yeah. I'm gay. I don't know. I guess I like women. Like you didn't know.
Right.
So could you imagine if there were like pride stuff? Like I would have thought I was like a unicorn, you know, binary SUV. Like I wouldn't have known what I was at all, you know? So I can only imagine how confusing that is for kids. So,
yeah, I think, and you know, sitting in the classes and they're just harping on this stuff and you're just like, oh my God, I thought I hated English, but now I hate this because it's just over and over. What can I do to, you know, push back against this in some way? Cause this is annoying. So now they're just going to start doing the opposite. And I guess the opposite is cheering on the USA. I don't know if that works, but
yeah.
It's just something to go, this is lame. It's like punk rock to push back against the popular thing. And the popular thing's stupid. I don't like the popular thing. Once this band becomes popular, I'm out. And I think a lot of kids are kind of getting to the point where they just had enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think like kids deface stuff all the time. Like, not because they're hateful, because they're kids and they're just, they're like, this is authority.
Yeah.
This is the, what is it? Not the man, but you know, this is the establishment.
Yep.
And I'm like you said, I'm a little rebel. So
exactly. So yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm sure, you know, this kid that's tore down the thing at the business was just doing the same thing. And it's funny how the front lines might be at middle schools. Middle schoolers might be the new dissidents.
The front lines of
carry us into the future against the empire. I don't know. It's just a weird time. I guess every time is weird to be alive, but this seems.
Yeah, I don't know what direction is next. And you know, if we zoom out, which we've talked about before, if we zoom out, it's only going one direction, which is the progressive direction. And I think we were all in favor. Well, not that we were alive, but you know, for civil rights or. You know, I know we eye roll with the women's rights thing, but okay, it's all been achieved. It's all on the books. We all have equal rights. And now it's like, I don't know what direction we're taking it or if there's ever an end in sight. Like what do we want? Like 50% of the people in Congress, we want them to be trans. Like, I don't like, and even then it won't be enough. Like, you know, I just, what's the next frontier? Does it end? You know, I've postulated that the next thing is, pedophilia being like a sexual orientation, like it's not.
That's that, unfortunately, I think that's where it heads next. And,
it's like, oh, so, it's not a mental disease or disorder. It's an orientation. You just can never act on it. And if you do, just buy a doll, you know? So.
Well, that's already kind of on the fringes right now, but the window, the framing will kind of move that way, and then it will kind of be in the conversation, and people are going to roll their eyes at that and go, no, that's not true. But it's got to keep moving. It's not just going to stop. It's not going to be like, okay, we're satisfied now. Anna, we're out of time. We got to go. Thank you so much. You can catch Anna on the Bubble Love Sponge show, and you can catch me on the Johnny B show, 8 to 10 weeknights on 102.5 The Bone. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Kuhn. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show was up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you're listening on podcast, thank you. Tell a friend about it, share it, and I appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.